good to be here again today. If you're a guest, we want to welcome you and tell you especially that it's great to have you here, that you chose to worship with us today. We consider that a gift from God, that He led you here to worship. If you're here and you're trying to figure things out, then that's good, because I'm still trying to figure things out too. This is my second Sunday, so I'm only 1 week ahead of you if this is your first Sunday. But we would like to connect with you, and so if you would, if you're a guest or, and you've been coming for a long time, or you're just coming for the first time and you've never given us your information, if you could, on the friendship forms on the that were passed down the rows earlier, if you could fill that out, we would appreciate it. Or else, there's information cards out on the connection table, which is out the door to the right. If you could just fill out some information, give us whatever you're comfortable with, your name at least, maybe some phone number or email. I would love to connect with you and reach out to you. And if you can do that, or else at the end of the service, if you come up and just introduce yourself, I would love that, to get to know you as I'm trying to get to know everyone else in the church. For those of you that connected with me on social media, I thank you. It's going to help me, again, to get to know you, to connect with you. It's also, you can go back and look pretty much at the last 15 years of my life if you really can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning and just want to know what happened to me throughout the decades. You can get to know me better on Facebook as well, or Instagram or Twitter. I appreciate that. If you have not, my information is in the bulletin, and I would love to connect with you. Have some good news today. Peggy and I signed a lease on a rental house this past week, and this week we should be able to get the keys to that. So going to be moving into that soon, and I'm excited about that. So today we are beginning a series, kind of a survey of the book of Job, as we're looking at a series called Enduring Life's Storms. And so if you would, find Job in your copy of the Scriptures. If you have a paper copy, it's before the book of Psalms. If you have an electronic copy, just open your search and type the word Job in the search engine, and you'll find the book of Job. A couple of weeks ago, Jason spoke about the steadfastness of Job and did a very good job explaining that as it connected to James 5. But here we are in this series now, looking at enduring life storms. And I really wanted to start this series this way, because as I was talking to the search team and to the deacons, just heard about the last few years of the church's history and how many people have gone through storms, very difficult times, losing loved ones, facing various trials. And I just felt it was really important as a church family to see what God can do for us. So I encourage you to take some notes. You may say, well, I'm not going through a storm. I haven't gone through a storm, so I don't need to take notes. And I would say that it would be good for you too, because one day you will go through a storm, or you will know someone who is going through a storm, and taking some notes will help you to be used by God to minister to them. Now, Job is a great person to look at, and to look at the book of Job and his life to understand about storms. So Job, in one day, Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 oxen, 500 female donkeys, his servants. And that is a total of, as they estimate, maybe $6 to $7 million worth of goods. Then the next day, Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, which is priceless. Now, if anybody in the Scriptures we can look at to see how to handle loss, storms of life, it is Job. Then after that, he lost his health. He was covered with boils and sores from head to toe, so badly were these covering him that his friends, his closest friends, when they came to visit him, did not recognize him. So you might feel that your life is collapsing if you've lost your health, if you've lost your job, lost a loved one, savings may have been depleted for one reason or another. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe a loved one has moved away. And you have faced that storm, as many of us have throughout our lives. Well, if anybody can teach us how to endure those, it's Job. So let's look here at Job. We're going to look at verses, or chapters 1 and 2, look at various verses through those today. Before we read, let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we come to you right now, thanking you for your word. God, we thank you that it is real to our lives, that heaven is a place we will go one day that will be perfect, but on this earth we will face many trials. And you give us comfort, you give us assurance, you provide us hope and strength through those trials. So teach us now, as we look at your word, let your spirit minister to every one of us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, which I think Uz is really funny since he was covered with boils, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. That's saying a lot. Then look down at verses 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down it, on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge up around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land? But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now before we read the next section, that tells us some incredible things are going on in the spiritual realm. And it would take us forever to try to understand that, but realizing that there is an incredible activity there. And just as Peter wrote last week when we saw that in 1 Peter 5, that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, this is just an example of what he is doing in his work. And we think about that God knows our name, but Satan also knows our name. And so when God made reference to Job, Satan knew exactly who he was talking about. So we should be very sober-minded when it comes to Satan's activities in our life and what he might do in our lives. Now look down at verse 20. This is after Satan attacked all the possessions of Job and he lost all those things that we had listed earlier, and Job got the news. It says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Now that's round one. And some time had passed. We don't know how much time had passed. But now round two comes in chapter 2, verse 1. And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro from the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, and blameless and upright man who fears God and turns from evil? He still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life." See how Satan works? He gets a little, he gets a lot, and he still wants more. Verse 5, "But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life." You notice how God does not inflict this on him, but the pain and the suffering that Job goes through is from the hand of the evil one. And God puts barriers on what he can do. So verse 7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a loathsome sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he, meaning Job, took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Verse 10, should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said nothing wrong. Job lost everything that made others admire him. He had a reputation throughout all of the East, not just in his village, but in all of the East, of his wealth, of his prosperity. And he lost all of that, but he refused to lose his faith. When trouble comes, it's not a matter of how we feel. It's not a matter of understanding why things are happening, because faith sees the unseen, and faith holds on to God. I want to give you 5 statements of faith this morning that will keep us strong during our storms. So, how do we respond in faith when storms come? First off, when trouble comes, my faith will say, God has the complete perspective. Job knew this. In Job 28, verse 24, he says, "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." When trouble comes our way, lots of times we ask questions like, "Why me, God? Why did I? What did I do to deserve this?" And with all those questions, we are expecting negative responses. But here is what God would have told Job. "Job, you're someone who can prove that faith is not a crutch. Job, you can prove that people really do love me and don't just look to me when things are easy. Job, you can prove that I can change the character of a person and make them better." Now, was Job hurting? Yes. He was miserable. Was this happening for a negative reason? No, it was not. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God understands things that we have no complete perspective on. God has a complete perspective, not just on our life and where we are, but on the world, on history, and on everything that's going on around us. Things that have happened in our past, but things that will happen in our future. Lift your hand if you have a plan for your life. If you have goals in your life, lift your hand. All right? Lift your hand if you think God has a plan for your life. Now lift your hand if you think God's plan may not completely line up with your plan. Damar Hamlin, safety for the Buffalo Bills. Earlier this year, even if you're not a football fan, probably know that he collapsed on the field during a game with Cincinnati. It was so tragic that his heart stopped. They had to resuscitate him there on the field. And it was such a devastating event that they canceled the whole game after they took him off in an ambulance. It was such an impactful thing that we saw people praying and not just saying, I'm going to pray, but people in places that wouldn't normally do it, praying out loud in public. And the other night, Friday night, at the NFL Honors Program, Damar was honored and recognized. And here's what he said. He said, my vision was about playing in the NFL and being the best player I could be. But God's plan was to have a purpose greater than any game in this world. Now, Damar does not know if he'll ever play another NFL game again. He's getting better, but they don't know yet. But he's accepted that maybe his plan wasn't what God's plan was. But he will use God's plan and follow that in his life. You see, when trouble comes, my faith will say that God has a complete perspective on things. Second thing, when trouble comes, my faith will say God wants me to move closer to him. See, we usually and often want to pull away from God during our pain. Job did the opposite. He communicated with God. He was very honest with God about his pain, about his confusion and frustration. Write these references down. You can look them up later. But chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 15. And let's read chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Job said, I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend against me. You see, Job praised God at the beginning, but as things went on, he was confused. He didn't lose his faith, but he was honest with God about the confusion that was in his mind. He didn't understand. He couldn't grasp what was happening. But instead of pulling away from God, he pulled closer to God. You know, some people say that if you have faith, you can never say anything that is negative in your life, or that you can't tell God that you're suffering. Well, that's complete opposite of what God wants. God wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to hear everything in your heart. When you're joyful, he wants to hear that. When you're hurting, he wants to hear that. When you have questions, he wants to hear that. You know, faith says, God, I am miserable right now, but I know that you are going to change things. Faith says, God, our relationship can survive me being honest with you. Faith says, God, I feel like I don't have anyone who understands my deepest concerns, but I know that you do. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, what the psalmist said. We can be honest with him. We can talk to him. We don't need to pull away from him when life gets trouble. When troubles come, my faith will say, God wants me to move closer to him. But thirdly, when trouble comes my way, my faith will say, God still loves me. Your circumstances are no indicator of God's love for you. Job, in both these times, when Satan approaches God in heaven, verses chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 3, says, and the Lord said to Satan, In 1:8, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? And 2, verse 3, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Are you going to tell me that those words from God Almighty in the heavens is indication that God does not love Job? He loves Job. He knows him. God, in the same way that he looked down on Job and knows Job, he knows your name. God at any time could talk about your life to Satan, to the angels. He knows everything that's going on in your life. The things that you're going on in life, the things that you're dealing with, have no indication, no bearing on God's love for you. You are never going to be forgotten by God. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. And the women in this room who have had children understand this verse much more than men, because the connection between a mother and her child is super strong. And the idea of forgetting your child from a mother to her child is beyond comprehension. But God says, even if that were possible, I will not forget you. You were created by God to know him and worship him. Not so he could punish you. People in that day and in our day see blessings as a sign of God's love for us. That's not true. They also saw cursings as a sign of God's anger with us. And that's not necessarily true. Romans 8:35 and 37 tell us God speaking to his children. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When trouble comes our way, my faith will say, God still loves me. Number 4. When trouble comes, my faith will say, I will still praise him. Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Meaning that it doesn't matter what circumstances I'm facing, I will praise the Lord, is what Job is saying. If I praise him in the good, then I should praise him in the bad. That's what he said to his wife. Should we accept only the good from God and not the bad? He is still God. We do not praise God for the things he does for us, even though we think, oh boy, it's a whole lot easier to do it then. When things are going good, when it looks like God just pouring out his blessings on us, oh yes, praise God. But we don't praise him for the things he does. We praise him because of who he is. No matter how bad things become in my life, he is still God. He is still almighty. He is still majestic. He is still all-powerful. He is still deserving of all my praise, no matter how strong I am or how weak I am. Psalmist said in Psalm 66:20, blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. No matter how bad things get in your life, God does not turn his ear away from hearing your prayer. God does not stop loving you. God is still worthy of being praised no matter what we're facing. When trouble comes my way, my faith will say, I can still praise you. And number 5, when trouble comes, my faith will say, today's crisis will not determine my destiny. Today's problems that you're facing, that any of us face, can be removed as quickly as they came. Job 1:22 says, "In all that he did, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." Job knew that today's sorrow would be washed away by tomorrow's joy. We sang about it. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Now, that weeping isn't necessarily from 10 o'clock at night to 6 a.m. in the morning. That night may be longer. It was long for Job. It wasn't one literal night. It was a period of time. And that weeping may be there, but as we hold on to God and know that today's crisis doesn't determine my destiny, we will see the sun rise on a day when we can turn to God in praise and thank Him for the newness of joy that He restores in our soul. See, God knew that one bad day or one bad week does not make a lifetime. One bad year does not make a lifetime. We are here for eternity, folks. If you're a child of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your life is just beginning. And we have forever with Him in heaven. That's a long time. Joy will come in the morning. Job knew that God is the one who can lead him to a better tomorrow. So hold on to God. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. We love to quote verse 11, but I like to be reminded of verse 10 when it says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will list you, I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." We love that verse 11. But the fact is that in verse 10, he is telling them, you have been taken out as captives from your homeland. You've been taken as slaves into Babylon, and you will stay in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Sorrow may last for the night. But the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. I will restore you back again, and I will fulfill my promises to you. And so we need to remember that sometimes there is a darkness of night before the joy comes in the morning. Job knew that today's pain could make him stronger tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, Paul is speaking, he says, "For we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light in momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Paul said, the storms I'm facing in my life that I have faced, they are just making me stronger. They're preparing me for another day, for another time in my life. Most of us in this room, if we were asked to say, what is your favorite psalm? A lot of us would say Psalm 23. But we need to be reminded of that psalm that we say, oh, it's so good, it's so refreshing, it's so encouraging. Verse 6 says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How opposite that is than what we want in our lives. We want goodness and mercy to go ahead of us. But David said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See, lots of times we have to go through things that aren't good, where we don't see God's mercy, but they will come later. Earlier in that psalm, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's times in life we walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death. Those aren't great times. Those aren't wonderful times. Those are times filled with fear. Those are times filled with uncertainty. Those are times when we don't know if we're ever going to make it out the other side of the valley. But he says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. When storms come, you may not feel God's goodness. You may not feel His mercy. But hold on by faith, because it's coming. When trouble comes, my faith will say, God, this crisis is not my destiny. Now, after all of this, you might say, well, you don't know my situation. If you knew my situation, if you knew me, you would not say all this stuff about God's love and faithfulness. Well, I would. No matter what you're facing in your life, I would. Why? Because Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to live among us, to be crucified, paying for our sin debt. And after 3 days, after many had given up hope and thought all hope was lost, He rose from the grave, never to die again, promising to those who believe in Him eternal life. So my question to you is, why would Jesus Christ go through all of that? Why would He leave the glory of heaven? Why would He subject Himself to life in human flesh, to ridicule, to doubting, to scorning, to persecution, to death on a cross? Why would He go through that if your life wasn't worth something and there wasn't hope for your life? Believe in His sacrificial death, for you, and believe in His presence with you right now. Let me ask you to bow your heads. And I ask you to think through, God, I've been listening. Now what do you want me to do? How does this message impact your life? How does this look in verse Job chapter 1 and 2? How does it impact you where you are right now? Ask God to show you that. Your listening notes, you can write that down. My next step after hearing this message is, or you can pray it to God. Maybe you've been doubting Him. Maybe you have walked away from Him because of troubles that are in your life. Maybe you've never trusted in Jesus, but right now you need to. Then just call out to Him and say, Jesus, I put my faith in You. Not to get me through this situation, but God, Jesus, please forgive my sins. Give me a relationship with You where I can be honest with You. Give me a relationship with You where I know You're walking with me through life. Give me a relationship with You where I know that I will be with You forever and have my sins forgiven. Father in heaven, thank You that You never let us face a day on this earth without your presence. Thank You that You promised us that. Thank You that everything that goes on in our life is for good, and that nothing will ever separate us from You or from Your love. Father, I pray for anybody here today that is going through a storm, that God, You would encourage them, that You would strengthen them, build their faith, restore them again, that they might see the joy that comes in the morning. In Jesus' name. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. God bless you as you go this week.